Welcome back to Toad Talk. It's football season, and it wouldn't feel right to not talk to y'all before TCU started its season against Duquesne. So we're back. Billy Wessel's here. Clint Foster joining me remotely tonight as he just picked up some late dinner for his family. Clint, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. You know, we had to do it for y'all because while we're gone, the college football world fell apart at the seams. So, we just thought it was only right to just get together so we can kind of piece the Big 12 world back together, and you're welcome for that.
Well, we need some Gorilla Glue, Super Glue, duct tape, whatever sticky stuff you might have, Spider Tack. We need some of that to try and put everything back together again. Put the Humpty Dumpty that is college football. But college football is back. We got the game. TCU starts the season Saturday night, 7 p.m. against Duquesne. We're going to break that game down a little bit. Not going to go too much into detail because TCU's going to win this game by 4 touchdowns at least. And then we're going to talk about the newest commits for the football team. The other football team is doing really well once again. The soccer team is highly ranked and off to a great start. And basketball's got to schedule up before we get to your Twitter question. So, Clint, first and foremost, I guess we should probably start with the latest, biggest news, which is the Big 12 might still exist. We got a statement from the Big 12 a few hours ago. They didn't say a whole lot, but basically saying the 8 teams left are going to stick it out and try and figure out what's best for everybody.
It was indeed a statement. I think I can say that with absolute certainty that it was a complete sentence and it was a statement.
It was probably a run-on or two.
I didn't have much to say, but... Yeah, it was definitely run on as well.
Where do you think this winds up? Where do you think the Big 12 looks like in 2023? Yeah, 2023.
Well, at this point, I see that there's only one option left because the Pac-12 has already said that they don't have any interest. So I was glad I got that sketch out when I did.
Literally just in time.
No, that's not an option. But I think that the only way this goes is the Big 12 adds some G5 teams, hopefully the best of the bunch. And ideally, I think you add 4 teams to get back to 12. I don't know, you know, if you end up adding half the American Conference and Boise and BYU, if you want to get to 16, if that's a worthwhile venture. But, yeah, it's definitely looking like the direction this is heading.
Yeah, I agree. And I kind of don't hate the idea of going to 16. I kind of think there's strength in numbers and expanding the brand and going all out. Make it the Big 16 and go for it from there. Give me Boise. Give me BYU. Give me Memphis. Give me Cincinnati. Give me UCF. And then give me one more.
Not Houston.
I was debating Houston or SMU. Give me Louisiana Tech. There you go. I'll go with my hometown bias.
Yeah, I was going to say Tulane. I think Tulane would be a lot more fun.
Tulane would be a lot more fun. Go to New Orleans. But, yes. Maybe not this week. Because as...
Yeah, maybe steer clear of this week. But, yeah. But
this time. But keep your eye out around Fort Worth the next couple days.
Then he can go.
Yeah, well, you might keep your eye out in Fort Worth the next couple days. You might run into Alvin Kamara and Jameis Winston out in the streets.
Yeah, just keep walking around, just being in New Orleans. By the way, Billy, I mean, we actually might have I have a Twitter question about this, but the Saints being awfully close to your home now.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think about all that?
Well, I think they chose the best weight room in the country, the best facilities in the country to come work out at for a couple weeks. I'm excited. I'm hoping I run into somebody here around town. That'd be pretty cool. It stinks that first game's not going to be played here. Some stupid band is playing on a Wednesday, so they can't put the Packers-Saints game on that Saturday to give the band 3 days to prepare. I don't understand it, but I think that's really dumb. But maybe by week 4, they might still be without power in New Orleans. They might play that game here in AT&T Stadium. That's what I'm hoping for. But obviously, first and foremost, I hope everyone in New Orleans gets their power back safe. Thankfully, all my family there got out safe and had very minor damage to their home. So,
good deal.
But speaking of dealing a lot of damage, let's talk about TCU versus Duquesne this weekend. I'm expecting a big game from the Frogs, especially this offense this weekend. I'm looking forward to it.
You gonna be there, Billy?
I am going to be there. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yes. Oh man, I'm going to be interested to see what the crowd looks like because you know I was at all the home games last year and it was like taking a time machine back to when I was 12 and you know it was me and 2,000 other people in Amon Carter Stadium.
Well,
very very weird.
Well, there was something else happening in the world besides college football last year. I know it's hard to fathom something else possibly, but but yeah, that was the reason last year. I don't think it'll be full.
It's,
I mean, to be fair,
weird. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, to be fair, it's never full, especially for these games. And I think I saw tickets for on StubHub for like $2. So if I can't beg someone to get tickets for Saturday by now, I'm gonna try and grease some pockets tomorrow. And if not, I'll buy some $2 tickets on StubHub to go to the game on Saturday. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll be full. I don't think it'll be full. I think it'll be a good enough crowd that want to see some live sports because it's fun. I know it's definitely still want to be safe out there as things seem to be not getting much better despite all the efforts we've tried over the last year out there. But I think this will be a good game. I think this team's trying hard. I think they're going to go put a whooping on the Dukes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's just, you know, there's only so much that you can extract from these games, of course, but it's going to be, well, it's always exciting just to see the team on the field again. You know, you can go, it's a long time during the offseason just dying for this. And this is why I like, if you're going to play an FCS opponent, it should be the first game, because otherwise it's literally impossible to get up to it. At least if it's the first game, you get excited because it's the first game. And I'm just really looking forward to seeing just Duggan's timing with his receivers, see how this offensive line has come together that I have really, really high hopes for. Just kind of see a little bit of the blueprint of, you know, a little appetizer, a little on-beef and a moose-boosh for what should be a very, very good season, though, that we've been excited about for a long time.
They're going undefeated, and to go undefeated, you got to win this game. I think they'll win it handily. We'll get to predictions in a second, but GP's playing his cards close to the vest. No official depth chart for this game was released. That's an interesting move. So he's playing some 3D chess. We do know that Zach
Evans. If he tells us, he's telling Duquesne. You know?
Yep, you got to prepare. You got to keep them guessing too. We do know that Zach Evans will not be starting. He's apparently serving a 2-series suspension, so he was probably late to a meeting or something, which is fine. Someone else will run for 150 yards and a touchdown in the first two drives. That's fine. We do know that Wyatt Harris is getting the start at linebacker next to D. Winters. He's got the impossible task of replacing Garrett Wallow, but I do think that will be not necessarily a revolving door, but I think whoever plays the best will take that job and run with it.
I'm going to be really interested to see how Jamoy Hodge looks.
Yep.
And I mean, you know, Wyatt Harris he's been in that role before and done, you know, perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't win a job in Coach B's defense by not being the best. So I'm sure he's more than capable, but I am very interested in Jamoy Hodge's potential as well at that position.
Yep. I'm excited to see the defense, excited to see the safeties fill out after the two guys went pro. Just excited to go watch the guys. I know this is I've said it like 5 times already. You're going to get a little bit of practice. It's like a spring game on steroids a little bit. It'll be a fun game. It'll be a fun atmosphere. I'm looking forward to it. Who scores the first touchdown, and why is it going to be Marcel Brooks?
Well, I think Duggan is going to be involved in the first touchdown. I don't think there's any question. Whether he runs it or whether he throws it, it remains to be seen. Remains to be decided by me here in the next few minutes, but I think Duggan's going to be involved. I don't think there's any question. He's going to be involved in a lot of touchdowns.
That he will be. And another guy that, at least as far as Duquesne goes, a guy to keep an eye on is their quarterback, Joe Mischler. Averaged 239 yards per game during the spring. They played in the spring season. Went 4-0. They lost in the first round of the SCS playoffs. But their big weapon is Cyrus Holder, 23 catches and for 491 yards and 5 touchdowns across the 4 games in the spring. Everything I was reading was talking about how they do actually have a pretty decent passing attack. So that'll be a good test for the young safeties and the cornerbacks that we are really expected to do well this season.
Yeah, from what I understand, I mean, you know, it's still an FCS opponent, and they're not exactly North Dakota State, but I think they're better than a lot of us might assume that they are, which is good. You know, you don't want a complete and utter cupcake. I mean, it's nice to have a little bit of challenge.
Yeah,
there.
You don't want to play a Bishop Sycamore. You want to play someone a little bit better than that.
Yeah, you know, that is disappointing. You know, it's a shame that we couldn't get them on the schedule.
Well, they Duncanville backed out of their game with them, so they technically do have an open date coming up. So we'll see. Maybe Alabama will schedule them in November.
We want Bishop Sycamore.
Yes, that's what we want. All right, so that's kind of what I'm looking forward to this weekend. Is there anyone else you're looking forward to seeing again? I know we've touched on Max. Quentin Johnson, I think, is going to have a monster day. I don't think this Duquesne defense is going to be all that good. Whoever runs the ball is going to be great. I want to see the offensive line, how they're gelling and how they're looking. I think it's a big deal. Speaking of big deals, Obinut Eze is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we got there's so many fun new additions, guys like DJ Carter and guys back from injury like Noah Daniels. I mean, Billy, it's September 1st. I'm so excited for football season. I'm so ready. I'm just ready. I'm ready for them to prove us right. That's what I'm really ready for.
Oh, yeah. Ready to finally be right for a change.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right, speaking of being right, time to make your prediction and your player of the game pick. You want to go first, or should I go first?
Okay, you go first. You go first.
All right, I'm going to go first. I think TCU puts on a show. I think it's going to be an electric atmosphere. I think Duggan has himself a great game. I'm going to say 55-10. I'm going to say 55-10 Frogs and player of the game.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Was that bad?
That's what I was thinking. Oh, my God. Okay, I
got to
come up with something different now.
I'm going to go 55-10. Who do I want to pick player of the game to be? That's the real question. I'm going to go with my heart still. I think Blair Conright finally explodes. I'm going to say he's the guy again for two touchdowns, 110 yards. Five catches.
Okay, all right.
Five catches, 110 yards, two touchdowns.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say then, I mean, I agree with you. Obviously, we're expecting a win here. We're expecting electric offense. I think that this is going to be, I think the one thing that all Frog fans are going to leave this game saying is like, wow, this offense is actually going to be, you know, reminiscent of that 2014-15 stretch. And I'm like, these are guys who can run and can score. I'm thinking like 52-10. So a little bit different than you.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a little fun with my player of the game. Just to shout out to this fellow who I have ragged on unnecessarily ever since his debut against Louisiana Tech.
Oh, no.
Chase Curtis, okay. Player of the game. I see Chase Curtis getting two touchdowns in this game. One out of Wild Frog and one on a 60-yard bomb.
Wow.
And
okay.
whether Brian Etheridge and whoever else, ESPN Plus, whether anyone else gives him player of the game, Chase Curtis will be my player of the game.
That is a bold take. I thought I was being bold and interesting with Blair Conner. I at least picked a real receiver. You picked Chase Curtis, who's best known for botching a Wild Frog at the end of last season. So
I mean, no one has been put in a worse position to succeed ever, I think, in their entire life than he was in that Wild Frog play.
There's got to be worse.
I mean, I'm sure there is. I'm exaggerating.
Tony Romo holding an extra point was pretty bad.
Yeah, that was pretty bad thing.
All right, let's get into some commits real quick. Again, we haven't had a show in about 6 weeks or so. So a couple of new commits for the Frogs. They added DJ Allen, the biggest of the bunch, 4-star wide receiver out of Gladewater. 5'11", 190, had USC, Baylor, Oklahoma State, and Auburn offers. So a pretty long list of offers for this absolute speed demon.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if there's one type of player that you always like TCU to get and that TCU has thrived with for two decades now, it is the speed guy, right? Speed, baby. That's what Coach B said.
Yep.
After that Texas Tech win in 2006, man. I mean, if you can run, like, we can figure out where to put you. You know, we can figure out where you're going to make an impact.
Yeah, and I think I'll make an impact. He made an impact last season with 59 catches for 1,316 yards and 17 touchdowns. That guy can absolutely play. I'm very excited to see what he can do coming up in this offense here in a year or two. Next up is Seth Martin, local guard, 6'3", 285 out of Everman. I like the local guys. I like when they do well. And GP found himself a possible diamond in the rough here.
Yes, shout out to Everman. Shout out to Johnny Fobbs, an Everman guy from back in my days. You got some good players coming out of that east side of Fort Worth now. So don't sleep on them for sure. I'm excited to have him in the fold.
Yep. Excited for him. Also, you know, I'm excited to bring anyone in from Louisiana. A couple Louisiana commits here. Jadeus Richard, 6'2", 205 safety out of West Monroe. Whenever they pull someone from West Monroe, you just know they're going to be a baller, especially on this defense. I believe that's Chucky Hunter's stopping grounds, among many other Frogs there.
Yeah, that's typically worked out pretty good for us. Chucky, James McFarland, I think Terrell Lathan was from West Monroe.
Yep.
Yeah, you've got more than a few success stories.
Baylor, La Tech, Memphis, and Indiana are on his offer sheet, so he's going to be pretty good.
By the way, speaking of defensive linemen, and you know, like you said, we don't have a depth chart, but the word is that Earl Barquette is going to be the starting three technique this weekend. What do you think about that, Billy?
I like it. I mean, we saw out of him, we saw flashes out of him last year. Pretty much, this defensive line is going to be one of the best TC's ever had, and that's saying something.
Yeah, to me, that just speaks so strongly to the point that we've made of, like, this is hands down the deepest defensive line, especially defensive tackle group, I can ever remember seeing at TCU.
Yep,
and I've been actively watching every single game since, like, 1998, 1999. So, I feel like I've seen chunks of flies pull from, and I cannot think of any group that was this deep.
Another year of Kari Coleman, another year of illustrious nicknames for you. I'm very excited to see that. And, of course,
Kari Coleman, he might not even start because Dylan Horton is just that good, apparently.
Well, let's not get carried away. But Kari Coleman is a totally different breed.
Oh, I mean, I agree. That is my adopted nephew, so don't get it twisted. But I'm just saying, like, there is a beyond a wealth of talent across the defensive line that it's insane to even try and wrap your mind around.
Yeah, and we'll see them all in action at some point this weekend. And then the last newest commit is AJ Allen, 5'11", 182 running back out of Neville. Speaking of those Northern Louisiana boys, the last great athlete to come out of Neville for TCU was
Kevontae Turpin. Yeah,
Kevontae Turpin. Yep, Turpin ran over all of the state of Louisiana that season, and so AJ Allen's a guy that can do the exact same thing. This is another great group of commits TCU's added. I think they're up to, I think they're somewhere in the 60s as far as the national rankings, but the class is still a little small. They're looking at 9 commits in the group right now. So I think when you double that with the same kind of talent they're getting, they've already got 2 4-star receivers in the fold. This offense is just going to keep getting better and better, no matter where TCU's going to be playing in the future, I believe.
Yeah, and that's so encouraging to me, too, that all of the uncertainty and all of the, oh, Texas jumping to the SEC and, like, oh, my God, will we ever be able to get another good player again? Y'all just relax. Like, clearly, things are under control. And clearly, no matter where we're going to be playing for the foreseeable future, there's still kids buying in who are very high-ceiling recruits.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to think. There's no one in the – I'm looking at the 247 recruiting rankings. There's no one else. There's only Miami's, the only school ranked higher than 50 that has under 10 commits. So a bunch of good talent still out there. But TCU's sitting there right next to SMU in the recruiting rankings, which is fun because they both have 2 4-stars. SMU sitting at 59, TCU at 61. So both with 9 commits. It's a fun battle there to the top of the DFW recruiting ranks, recruiting battles.
SMU taking full advantage of the whole, we can pay players now? Great.
100%.
Let's do that.
But is it too early to look at recruiting rankings? Because currently Rutgers is sitting at number 17 in the country.
Oh, watch out.
So
you got a big dynasty for me.
So it might be a little early to take too much stock in all of this. It's not too early. Yeah.
I was going to say, like, you know, Texas is always top 5 in the recruiting rankings. So, you know, does it really matter that much?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I'm excited for that game, too. I'll definitely be at that game. I'm looking forward to that one. And probably the game I'm looking forward to most this season. Possibly the last meeting between the two teams for a while. So, all right. So, soccer, speaking of teams that are also great in the state of Texas, teams that run the state of Texas, the Lady Frogs are 3-0, outscoring their opponents 15-1 on the season. Beat A&M in a top 10 showdown 2-1 in the home opener.
Love to see it.
Yep, Brandy Peterson got the Frogs. I don't say only goal because the other goal was an own goal early in the game, but it was set up on a great cross. So, yes, they're picking up right where they left off when they made it to the Elite Eight. I think that's where they got knocked out just a few months ago.
Got robbed, man.
They did get robbed. I stand by them getting robbed. That goal, that was definitely a goal. They played Colorado tomorrow at 7 p.m., and then they hit the road for a big old road trip against Pittsburgh, Bama, and Ohio State. And the Big 12 play starts September 23rd against Kansas. So.
Yeah, I just can't get enough of the Lady Frogs. Just absolutely kicking names and taking ass, to quote Mantis. And, by the way, I don't know if you're watching season 2 of Ted Lasso, but Hey, it's getting some hate online, but I've loved every second of it. I loved Ted Lasso, unapologetically.
I have not started season two yet, actually. I kind of want to wait till I can binge the whole thing at once. Is it all done yet or not, not quite?
No, not yet. And see, my wife, Abby, was on the same train as you. She's like, oh, no, I want to be able to binge it. And finally I was like, I'm ready to watch it right now. and so, you know, we binged like the first four episodes, and now we're waiting week to week like a couple of suckers. But, you know, I was just like, I don't want to wait like how long it's going to take, like 6 months or something crazy to get all the episodes out. It's a 12-episode season this time around.
Also, I think my sister's free Apple Plus subscription wore out, so I don't have that currently, I don't believe. So maybe maybe you can send me your login since I gave you my ESPN login. We can cut ourselves a trade.
Oh, yes. Well, full disclosure, I'm using someone else's login, so I can probably send you the person who sent me their login.
Yeah, there you go. See?
We'll just keep that train going.
Piracy is alive and well.
Arr.
All right. And then on to basketball, the men's full non-conference schedule came out earlier this week. Frogs start November 11th, 11-11, make a wish. And my wish is that they win 11 games this season because I don't know if that's going to happen.
Hey, okay. So this is very, talk about a bold statement.
Oh, dear.
But Colin Post got me a little bit thinking like, okay, hold on.
That's what he does, though.
But can I be optimistic about it? Because we know Mike Miles is good.
He's the happiest little optimistic troll I've ever seen. He's a very good little guy. He's very excited. He loves his Frogs, and I can't wait for him to listen to this and I get a text later on. But this is a team that I don't think is going to be very good this year. And you know I love Mike Miles. I've been talking about Mike Miles before anyone else at TCU was talking about Mike Miles.
I know, but like all I'm saying is, nobody has COVID anymore. No one's missing 100 practices anymore.
Yeah.
And
no one has COVID anymore? Have you looked outside?
No one on the team has COVID anymore.
Not yet. Not yet.
Well, they're all vaccinated or whatever. I've talked to people inside the athletic department who were shockingly bullish on the team, and I was like, are you taking crazy pills? Like, or am I hearing you correctly? And they're like, no, like, this team is going to surprise some people. So, you know, I'm not ready to say, oh, we're going to be top five in the conference or anything, but I think maybe we may, us, the most positive, the most purple glasses podcast on the interwebs, we might be a little bit dogging a little too much on TC basketball, is all I'm saying. Might be.
By we, you can definitely put it all on me, because I'm the most down on this team. I think I've been in a while, but I'm not. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. Let's just put it this way. I'm here for the Tone Eddie Lampkin show. I'm here for the Farabella show. I'm here for Mike Miles. I'm just not Chucky O'Buckets. You know I love. I'm just not sure if this is a team that can get you more than four Big 12 wins. There, I said it.
Well, I mean, they just need a. With a couple more than four to get into that tournament conversation.
Yeah, so. You need to get to seven, I think, gets you in the conversation. But I'm sitting here. I think 4.5 is what I'm going to put the over-under at for Big 12 wins for TCU this year.
Well, I feel like I could. Okay, well, we got a couple more months to think about
it. We have plenty of months. No reason to argue with it now.
But I don't know what I know. I just don't know anymore.
None of us know anything.
I'm full of confusion.
But they're starting 11-11 against McNeese State, another Louisiana proud institution.
They'll probably win that one.
They of all these non-conference games, you've got 5, 6, 7, 8 of the 11 are in Fort Worth. You like that? You get Oral Roberts at home. You get LSU at home. You got to go to Georgetown. That's the game I've got pencil circled starred. I'm ready to see what they do in that one.
Is that Christmas kid still Oral Roberts, or is he a senior last year?
Christmas? What'd you say?
Wasn't his last name Christmas? Who played for Oral Roberts? He was like a point guard last year?
I think he's gone, but let me double check.
Because, you know, that could either be like a really big test or like, oh, it's no big deal.
Looking at their 21-22 roster, they have no one with a name close to Christmas on it, so that's good.
Are there any Halloweens or Thanksgivings?
There's an Easter.
Anything you need to be concerned about?
There's an Easter.
There's Boxing Day.
There's an April Fool's on here. There's a 4th of July on here. But no Christmases.
That's a unique name for sure. Yeah, that's a Key and Peele name. 4th of July, Jackson.
That's a Bishop Sycamore name for sure.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's such a crazy story. I'm looking to see who we might have been talking about, like who led them.
Somebody said, "I can't wait for the 30 for 30 on Bishop Sycamore." I so hope that one eventually gets made because that is just stems of Dern's such a wild story. And the fact that they fooled ESPN, that may be the only reason that they don't make it, just because ESPN was the butt of the joke.
Yeah, yeah.
They got fooled into broadcasting one of their games. But my goodness.
They're, Oral Roberts' leading scorer from last year, Max Abmas. Maybe that's what you're talking about by Christmas? Abmas?
Oh, maybe. I thought it was Christmas. I'm going to just make that up.
Max Abmas is returning, so out of Dallas Jesuit. So, yeah, that could be a bad time for everyone involved.
Where did I get Christmas from? Somebody was named Christmas.
Well, you got the suffix right, and that's really all that matters, I think.
There you go. But, horseshoes, hand grenades, and player last name.
Yes. All right. Anything you need to go over real quick? Rundown. We'll definitely reconnect for a longer episode next week when we'll have a game to recover from, to recap, and then we'll also be talking.
Recap's
the word I meant. That we can preview Cal next week. That'd be exciting. Cheez-It Bowl 2.0.
Cheez-It Bowl 2.0.
Yeah, yeah. So
and the whole nation ought to be excited about that one.
They should be selling cheeses in the stadium for that game.
They should. They really should.
Like the walk-in taco with the Doritos, that should be a Cheez-It themed event, I believe.
Yeah, I'm planning on buying a family-sized Cheez-It box for my TCU fan video about that game already.
Oh, for sure. I'll go sit next to you if you want. All right. Kristen Barnes, let's get Twitter questions. Kristen Barnes at Kristen Barnes 24. Will TCU football go 12-0 this year? There's only one answer, and it is yes. They'll go 12-0, and then they'll go 14-0, then they'll go 15-0, I believe.
Preach. Look at it's happening.
Yep.
Name it and claim it.
Ain't no guess. It's what it's going to be.
Thank you. Yes.
All right. Let's combine.
In all seriousness, I would be shocked if this team loses more than 3 games.
You know the Vegas over-under is 7.5 wins for this team?
I know, hammer that over, man.
Hit the over hard, which I believe I said before and lost money on, but this year I actually believe it.
I mean, it's just, short of some catastrophic injuries, that's the caveat with every team every year, you gotta stay healthy.
Yeah.
And, that's the one thing you can't predict, but, if this team stays healthy, the sky is the limit to what they can achieve. I don't think they're likely gonna march into the national championship and beat Bama necessarily, but they can absolutely win the Big 12. Absolutely.
I think it's there for them for sure. Let's combine Andrew Otis and Yell MK. Both were very excited to bring to my attention that the Saints are practicing at TCU. Both asked how excited I am, and Andrew asked if I'm going to get to meet any of the players. I can't imagine I'll actually get to meet any of them that are going to be around practicing, because I think GP said that they're practicing in the morning and TCU's practicing in the afternoon. And I'm working stiff now, working 9 to 5. But if I happen to run into somebody
else. Way to make a living.
If I happen to run into somebody on 7th Street, I wouldn't hate it either. But one of the coolest things I got to do in my time working with the Star-Telegram was I covered the Saints-Cowboys Thanksgiving game a few years back. That had been 2012 or whatever year it was. Earlier than that, maybe 2010. The year after the Super Bowl for the Saints. And so I got to... Since I'm a big Saints fan, right, they won the game in overtime on the exact same play they ran 2 weeks earlier to beat Pittsburgh at the last minute. And so I was able to ask Peyton and Drew Brees about that play and what they liked about it. And so it was cool that they're like, oh yeah, that was the same play. How they confirmed my analysis of it. And so getting to interview Peyton and Drew Brees is still probably the pinnacle of my sports journalism career.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
You know, that too, I mean, it's very likely that some of the TCU managers might need to meet those Saints, get to meet those Saints players, because my sophomore year, that was the year that Green Bay and Pittsburgh played in the Super Bowl during the first Icepocalypse, before the most recent one, and we got to work Steelers practice, because the Steelers practiced at TCU, and so we met several of the players, and actually there's a thing that me and my friends still joke about to this day, that I took a picture of all of my friends with Hines Ward and Troy Polamalu, and I think somebody else was in the picture, and then right when it was going to be okay, now let me get in and someone else take it, and one of our bosses was like, "All right, everybody out of here, no pictures now." And I'm like, "Really?" I'm the only person who didn't get the picture.
That sucks.
But that was a fun time though, meeting those guys and working those practices.
Yeah. That sounds like it'd be a good time. Just be careful about Ben Roethlisberger back then. Tim Riley,
yeah, for sure.
At Tim Riley 04, if BYU joins, how will the conference handle BYU TV? They handle the Longhorn Network. Just let them keep doing what they're doing. Who cares?
Yeah, they're going to handle it by not doing jack squat about it. Yeah. And I mean, you know, BYU is so difficult. I feel like if you're willing to ask BYU into your conference, you're also then willing to accept all of their baggage and their nonsense.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're probably going to keep BYU TV. They're probably not going to play on Sundays. We're going to give them all of the concessions that they desire. I wouldn't mind beating them consistently every year, though, again. I would love to get to play BYU, Boise State, renew some of these old rivalries, especially if we continue to curb stop them. That'd be nice, too.
Yep, that's kind of how I think it goes. Stephen Stevenson, old pal from covering TCU way back in the day. Now he's on the Rangers beat. Does man have free will?
Absolutely.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, now I am. So if I may get a little theological on you, Billy, I am. I do have a lot of Calvinist sensibilities. Like, I do think that there's a purpose for everything and that everything is planned, but I think that free will is also a component in that. So I think you have both things happening at the same time.
I think it's free will, but there's like a subtle guidance in a lot of ways. Subtly, whether it's you're drawn to go to Whataburger, you're drawn to do something. Something is pushing you certain directions whenever you go somewhere. But in the extent,
so I'm assuming this is a Loki related question, though. Like, if you think that there's some kind of like, there is only one path that everyone is even allowed to take.
Yeah, I don't know. I just read the words that Stephen typed.
Did you watch Loki?
Yeah. The variants and whatnot. It was confusing the heck out of me, but I enjoyed it, especially how it ended.
Oh, you did enjoy the ending.
Yeah, did you not?
I mean, it was okay. I thought that Loki started a lot stronger. So I thought that both Loki and WandaVision started stronger than they ended.
Ooh.
I feel like WandaVision was my favorite of the three Disney Plus series by far. But I thought that the endings were both kind of, I thought WandaVision was stronger, and I think Loki's was kind of like, okay, what, like, it was kind of weird just to the whole subject of, like, does man have free will? So it's like, okay, now we've completely negated all of the positive choices that Tony and Steve and, like, all of these heroes that we've grown close to have made and struggled and fought for. We've just reduced it down to, like, oh, well, this is what they were allowed to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that point, but I gotta argue with the WandaVision, the ending. I think that show got better each and every week, and by the end, that was a show that I had to watch every Wednesday where it came out. That was one I couldn't wait for. I can wait for Ted Lasso. I couldn't wait for WandaVision by the end of it.
Oh, I loved WandaVision. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I just at the ending, I felt like Wanda kind of got off. I feel like they're kind of setting her up to be maybe a villain in series four. Or not phase four, in phase four. But I think she kind of got off a little easy after torturing all of those people so mercilessly through her grief. You know, it was kind of like, hey, like, what did Monica Rambeau say? Like, you're never going to know what you gave up. And it's like, okay, she also, like, viciously tortured them and, like, kept them imprisoned in their own minds. Like, so maybe she's not, like, this great person coming out of it.
Well, a lot of people get away with a lot of bad stuff out there in the real world, too. So that's a totally different thing.
Very true.
Let's finish off with Don Dowell. Where will TC be playing in 2025? I'm going to guess half their games will be in the Carter.
Yeah, they will be playing. I can assure you of that.
They will be playing. They will also be playing, I'm guessing, Baylor. I'm going to say they're also going to be playing Oklahoma State, Texas Tech.
Texas Tech, yeah.
SMU, probably. The Kansai schools. Yeah, I think they'll be playing in all of those places. Now, where else are you going to throw in there? I am looking forward to UCF. I want an excuse. You as a Disney person as well should root for a reason to go to Orlando every other year.
I feel like Cincinnati makes a lot of sense just to give West Virginia a single travel partner.
Yeah.
So I think Cincinnati is a no-brainer. I think BYU and Boise, just because of the eyeballs that they bring, you know, BYU is a massive brand. Every Mormon in the country is pays attention to BYU in some form or fashion, and they're all over the place. And then Boise State, you know, they've just built a brand as the underdog that everyone loves to root for, or, you know, in a few small cases, love to hate. So there's three for you. And then, yeah, UCF, it depends on if they can sustain success with Gus Malzahn. My only hesitance with, like, a UCF, or even, I mean, I don't want Houston in because I don't want another recruiting competitor, honestly, in the state. But schools like Houston and UCF that are commuter schools, you just wonder, like, is the passion and the fan presence there in the same way? Like, they've got these massive enrollments, but, like, are people really bought in the same way that they are at, like, a Kansas State? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. I think there's something to be said of that, but I just want to go to Orlando.
Yeah, oh, no, I'd love that. Don't get me wrong.
All right, Clint, anything else you want to mention today before I start playing the outro music?
Oh, please subscribe to my channel. Subscribe. I've got a lot of new sketches out since we last podcasted. A lot of things that I think y'all would love to go check out, so you should definitely do that. It's just Clint Foster on YouTube. Also, hey, this Saturday, TCU fans is coming back. Going back to the purple couch.
There you go.
Be ready for those as well.
Get ready for that, and we'll see you at the card here soon. I'm at Billy Wessels, and as always, if you got any Medicare questions, hit me up. We'll talk to y'all.
For sure.
Yeah, we'll talk to you guys next week.